This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Surprise, surprise, Boston Red Sox are beating the stuffing out of the A's 5-0, third inning at Fenway Park tonight. And Will Hill, it's difficult to put this in perspective, but you think about some of the most impressive win streaks in the history of baseball. If the Red Sox win tonight, they're going to be 27-3 over the last 30 games. This is historic what's happening with the Red Sox.
And it's a team that was, 32-46, yeah. June 24th. This isn't like the Dodgers getting hot or one of these great teams getting hot. This is a team that was probably going to sell off players. I know we were talking, doing some of these shows, that Sonny Gray will probably get moved. Aroldis Chapman will get moved. And why wouldn't you think that? They're 14 games under 500 with a week left in June, a month to the deadline, 6 weeks to the deadline, and here they are. They can't lose. It's the old saying, you can't predict baseball. You really can't predict baseball, and nobody could have seen this kind of run coming. I know Gil Alexander had them most wins in June at 81. That's obviously a hell of a bet, but to win it with like a week left and to just have this kind of run, it's incredible. It really is.
Super Dave Ross also had the Red Sox most wins in the month of June.
He told me he didn't bet it. He said he liked it. He gave it out, but he never bet it.
What?
Yeah.
He gave it out, but he didn't bet it?
I believe so. I think either the number moved, I'll forget. I'll have to confirm, but I believe that's what he told me.
Hey, this is what you should bet, but I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah. Well, these guys eating broccoli. I think that broccoli affected his brain.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Vile weed. He eats that vile weed and he's probably got brain rot. But good call. 80-1 on the Red Sox. Have most wins in the month of July, it was, right?
July, yeah.
And actually, the Red Sox had a good shot to have the most wins in the month of August.
Well.
to do it again, to go back-to-back. So, as I mentioned before, you and I are Yankees fans. We're both disgruntled about the Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone era, Hal Steinbrenner era, if you want to call it, the Three Stooges. But you have to admire what the Red Sox are doing, and I do. So if you take a deeper dive into why the Red Sox are going to be 27-3 over 30 games, what do you think the reasons are? Now, obviously, in July, they took advantage of the schedule.
Yeah, too. But still, 27-3.
But still, they won the games you had to win. That's not easy to do. Here's actually, Big Al McMorty tweeted this today, and I thought it was an important point to make about the Red Sox. He said the most important Our most impressive fact about this Red Sox streak is that they are 17-0 against teams with winning records.
Wow.
So they're beating good teams, too, not just beating up on the bumps.
That's a hell of a stat. And look, anytime you get a run like this, it starts with good pitching. I mean, you get a well-pitched game every day. I know it's kind of a cliche, but it's hard. If your starter's giving up four or five runs, you know what? You're not going to win too many games. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go on this kind of run. You got to get those six innings, one run, six innings, two run performances. And they've gotten good pitching. Toley's an underrated pitcher. Sonny Gray's pitched well for them. You go down the line, it's just, and they got a good back end of the game, too. Aroldis Chapman and Garrett Whitlock are good relievers. They don't have a ton of offense. I know they're scoring a bunch of runs tonight. They've got five runs here batting in the bottom of the third, but it's not just one of these lineups that's going to beat you up and down with a ton of power. It's not, Manny Ramirez and Big Poppy back in the day. It's more kind of a balanced attack and a lot of pitching, but again, a really inexplicable run here to go 27-3 for anybody, but much less a team that was 14 games under 500 not that long ago.
It's also true, I think, more in baseball than any other sport, that when a team gets on a roll, it's easy to keep rolling, keep the momentum going, and also it's easy to get caught in a losing funk.
Yeah,
and that's what the A's are in right now. 7-32 over the last 39, about to be 7-33. I don't think you want to bet on an A's comeback tonight at about 12-1 odds. Red Sox up 5-0. Bottom of the third, Red Sox have a runner on. Actually, a pretty important game tonight. Our producer's really fired up about this game. Corey is a lifelong Cleveland baseball fan, Indians, Guardians fan, and White Sox just got cooled off in Boston, but the White Sox have been playing really good baseball. That division, I'd say, still is up for grabs. Guardians, White Sox going head-to-head tonight.
Yeah, nothing for me here. And I think anytime you have a team that's lined at, 65.5, 66.5 wins, you think, all right, they can't win the division. This can't last. Baseball, it's 162. Cream rises to the top. They were 50-1 to win the division in the winter. I think they might have been higher. I think some listeners texted me or messaged me that they had 60, 70 to 1, maybe even higher. I mean, they had some crazy numbers on them. And remember, 2 years ago, they lost 121 games, and here they are with a real shot to win the division. I think they hang on. I did like what Cleveland did at the deadline. It hasn't exactly manifested the first few days as the Mets really just, boy, you would have thought the Mets were the team that was playing well, and Cleveland was the team that was sellers, because that's another example. It's just hard to predict baseball where the Mets sweep the Indians in Cleveland this week. But I think it'll come down to the wire. These are important games right now, 2-0 Cleveland, but it looks like the White Sox do have a rally here in the bottom of the first with a man on second and maybe a man on first. We've got a challenge here on a potential ball four, but it's going to be strike three. So right now, two out, one on here as the White Sox are trying to answer here in some sort of throwback retro uniform. I'm not really sure.
They look like Chicago Bulls uniforms.
They do.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen them White Sox wear those. I can't say I like those uniforms. Do you?
No, they remind me of like the 80s. Did they wear those back in the 80s or something?
I don't recall those in the 80s. Okay. No. I don't know. Anyway, City Connect jerseys.
Okay.
They look like Bulls jerseys.
They do.
Anyway, Guardians up on the White Sox 2-0, south side of Chicago. And Guardians, you could lay 2.5 at minus 135, or you could lay minus 420 on the White Sox, take back plus 343. If you want to bet the A's right now at DraftKings, you can get 23-1 odds. 5-0 Red Sox, bottom of the third. You want 23-1?
I think we're missing a zero there.
Would you take 230-1?
I think I would, sure. Why not?
All right, one more game where we have Angels lead the Marlins 1-0. And Reds trail the Nationals 3-0 in D.C., Washington minus 545. Patrick Everson, senior reporter for Vegas Insider, also Fox Sports contributor, he mentioned that some bookmakers are nervous about the White Sox because there's some big numbers out there in the futures on the White Sox. Should they be nervous?
I mean, depends what they are. Not to win the whole thing. That probably seems like a stretch, but you win the division. Who knows? Maybe you get a buy enough to check where they would be at in terms of the standings. I don't think they're going to get a buy, but probably not. But you know what? You get in, anything can happen. The American League is wide open. I would be slightly nervous. Not losing sleep over, but maybe slightly nervous. How about you? Would you be nervous if you're a bookmaker?
No.
Okay.
Not about the White Sox. The White Sox be a playoff team. I don't think they're going to make much noise when they get there. And we just watched them get swept by the Red Sox in Boston. White Sox are a good team, but I would not be sweating it. Let's put it that way. They're 59-55 right now, 3-game lead over the Twins and Guardians in the AL Central. So we're talking about the Dodgers being the shortest favorite we can remember, World Series favorite in August. And we were talking about this with Johnny Avello, who's been around for, you know, 4 decades doing this. And he can't recall a shorter World Series favorite in August. Dodgers at about plus 150. It's also interesting to me that the Dodgers have dropped 6 games in a row, right? We're talking about this team that's invincible. They got all the stars, short World Series favorites, and they've dropped 6 in a row. They got swept by the Cubs at Wrigley, and now they are trying to bounce back in Arizona. Sasaki is going tonight. You and I have talked about Sasaki before. It looks like sometimes the stuff is just nasty. Yeah. He should be better than the numbers. Sasaki against Merrill Kelly and Dodgers minus 177, total of 8.5. How do you handicap a game like this when you've got what's called the number one power-rated team in baseball on a 6-game losing streak, but they don't have one of their best starting pitchers going tonight against the D-backs team that's still somewhat in the playoff race? Would you bet on the Dodgers to bounce back and stop that losing streak tonight, or would you wait and say, well, if the Dodgers lose tonight, maybe I'll bet them Saturday?
I was sitting right here doing a numbers game with Dustin Sweetelson the other day, and he said, the Dodgers have lost 5 in a row. And he didn't say, no way they can lose 6 in a row, but that was a big part of his handicap. And I said to him, I think it was on air too, you know what, that's a dangerous way. Do is a very dangerous word in betting. We all know that. And, of course, they did lose their 6 in a row. I'm not looking to lay $1.77. If I were to bet it, I'd probably – I don't want Arizona either. I'd probably lay the 1.5 with the Dodgers because you figure they're going to win. They're probably going to win by 2+ runs. They are on the road. They are getting the 9th at bat. You're getting rid of some of the juice where, again, we talked about it where it's, you know, with some of these other games. If you're laying $1.77, $1.80 routinely in Major League Baseball, man, you're going to have to win a whole bunch of games, a real high percentage to win. But I think the Dodgers bounce back. I like Sasaki. He's been up and down, as you mentioned. The stuff is really good when it looks good, but I probably will pass. I know you're not probably in the habit of laying this kind of price, right?
No, but I was thinking about this series. You said the Dodgers are not going to keep losing. They made a big comeback against the Cubs in the final game of that series. Dropped that wild game 7-6. Ohtani homered twice. Pete Crow Armstrong homered twice. That was a wild game. They're going to stop this streak. I would actually kind of like to see the Dodgers lose tonight, and I think I better come back and bet them tomorrow.
Makes sense. I might do that.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out tonight. News from Talkin' Baseball on Twitter. Blake Snell, haven't seen much of him in the Dodgers rotation this season. Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow, kind of like forgotten guys. But they'll be back for September and October. Blake Snell will pitch for the Dodgers on Tuesday when they host the Royals. That's from Bob Nightingale. Snell has made one start this season on May 9th. Lost to the Braves, went back on the injured list with left elbow issues. So Blake Snell back on Tuesday against KC. Dodgers tonight in Arizona face the D-backs. Also on the baseball schedule later tonight, you got Tampa Bay at Seattle. We got some games and weather delays. Toronto, Philadelphia, and Houston, San Diego. Robbie Ray is going to start for the Padres tonight. They are -112 here at Circa, total of 8. I see some 8.5s out there at Petco Park tonight. Robbie Ray, the lefty, a good pickup. I think maybe a little bit overhyped. I saw that Tim and I were talking about this. MLB.com or one of the baseball sites ranked the trade deadline deals and ranked Robbie Ray to the Padres the fifth most impactful trade deadline deal. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, they needed started pitching. They got Casey Mize. They got Robbie Ray. Mize was awful, by the way, Wednesday night. But you at least filled the gaps with guys that can maybe give you, you know, 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 innings, 3 runs, quality starts, respectable starts here.
All right. We're about apparently 50 minutes away from our game of the night getting underway. We'll talk about that next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. Sign up for VSiN Pro today and get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide featuring previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. Plus, you'll also get our NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99. Wow, $9.99. Or get a full year. Save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. $9.99, Matt. That's a pretty good deal. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, I saw Bill Ady, the COO, walking out of here when I was walking in today. And I said, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
Seriously.
What did he say?
He said, yeah, he has.
Yeah, I could see that.
Crazy Bill Ady, that's what we call him. Yeah. So you're just giving him the store away for free. $9.99, that magazine is extremely valuable. It really is. And we put it out later than the other magazines come out because you want the latest, best information. And really that's, I think, important because the way college football has changed with the transfer portal, these teams are almost entirely new every year now. It takes a lot of work, a lot of research to analyze these teams. And I think this is the best, I don't think there's any doubt, the best publication we put out of VSiN. 350 pages, all these conferences, all the best bets that are in the guide. And the most work definitely goes into this one. Adam Burke, JVT, Wes Reynolds, Steve Mackinnon, plenty of guys, Zach Cohen, plenty of guys put in a lot of work to get this college football betting guide out. And Paul Stone and I combined to produce the preseason top 50. They got a bunch of best bets in there. I've purchased, I think, three other college football preseason magazines. A couple of them are quality magazines, but nothing is as good as this because it's written from a betting perspective.
Yes.
Right?
And it helps you throughout the year, too. It's not like you just get it and it's one of these things where it helps you in week one or week zero. It's going to help you from now till the end of the season. We're getting there. Right. So what's 3 weeks from Saturday, 3 weeks from tomorrow is week zero, UNC, TCU. I think it's a little later than usual. Usually
August 29th?
Yeah, August 29th. So I think it's 3 weeks from tomorrow. which
it would be, yeah,
is usually, like, I remember Stanford, Hawaii last year. Maybe it was 4 or 5 days earlier, but it was like August 23rd,
24th. Yeah, I think last year Tim and I were out in Honolulu for that Stanford, Hawaii game on August 24th.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? It feels like the football schedule's been pushed back
everything.
A week this year. But, hey, this we're not overhyping this guy. And if it was crap, I would say it's crap, but it's not.
You would.
That's extremely valuable. Nick Bogdanovich is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Nick is a sports gambling Hall of Famer, and he's going to be here tonight for the induction ceremony of Vinny Maiulo and many others here at Circa Resort and Casino. Also tonight, Rolando Raleigh Romero, pro boxer from Vegas, going to be in. And you remember when Romero took out Ryan Garcia? Do you remember that fight?
Sure.
Big dog in that fight. And he's going to be in studio with us tonight to talk about his next fight. Grant Mitchell from Forbes in the final hour to talk some football futures. Will, occasionally you write for FoxSports.com. Yeah. You do the Bear Bets podcast with Chris Felica, Sammy P, and Jeff Schwartz. How many football futures do you have in your pocket right now?
Ooh. Eight, maybe? Six? Eight? Starting to get more. Probably a few more. So I'd say eight, probably. I think I've added more in the last couple of days. So probably half college.
Okay.
Half, just bet. I found plus 425 the other day on Penn State to make the playoffs, which I think was a great number. I think, yeah, if you're talking about possibly a two-loss Big Ten team, I know it's not the strongest schedule, and there's going to be, trust me, there's going to be plenty of debates. Come December, these three-loss SEC teams are going to be whining, and we've got a tougher schedule, which is true, but I thought Penn State plus 425 was a good bet, added that one. So I'm probably up around 10 right now. How about you? How many have you made?
Only a couple in college, and I think six in the NFL, so right around eight.
Yeah.
I think I've got five bets to win divisions in the NFL. I took the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl at 15-1 and 16-1. That's the highest number we've seen on KC
sure
in quite a while. You and I talked about this earlier in the summer, so I'm not going to rehash it right now. But 22 days until college football week zero, Tim Murray and I will be in Palo Alto for Hawaii-Stanford, the rematch. And Cardinal tried to get even. Cardinal will be the go off as a favorite in that game right now, about four and a half point favorite against Hawaii. What a dramatic game that was last year. Went down to the wire. Hawaii gets the win. Hawaii had bookend dramatic wins last year. Opened the season against Stanford in week zero. Last minute win. And then in the bowl game, overcame a 21-0 deficit on Christmas Eve and came back and beat Cal 35-31 in a thriller.
Merry Christmas to all. It's all a good night with the backup quarterback coming in and throwing a game-winning touchdown. Yeah, it was a hell of a game.
It was.
I had Brad Powers on my podcast Wednesday. I think we already taped it last week. He said he really likes Stanford in week one. He thinks they're going to get even, you know, revenge from last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bunch of reasons. Go check out the podcast if you want to hear more about why he liked it. But he was pretty confident about with Stanford. I think they're laying it four or so. He likes Stanford.
Yeah, I would agree with him on that.
Okay.
I think Stanford's going to get revenge
in
this spot. Let's update what's happening in baseball, by the way. Red Sox lead the A's 5-0. Do we have a delay in the White Sox? The Guardians-White Sox game? I'm not sure what's going on. Okay. Nationals lead the Reds 3-1. Angels 1-0 over the Marlins. I can't read that score up there. Can you see that one?
Twins are losing 4-0. I don't know what that logo is. Who are they playing? Who is that logo? Is a W or something? It's hard because we're looking up at some of these screens. That's the Brewers. Okay, that's a little bit. I thought that might have been.
So more. Milwaukee's got a 4-0 lead over Minnesota in
these
the
uniforms,
top of the
You don't even recognize. Is that the Brewers wearing blue?
I can't even see the screen.
It says Wisco on it. It says W-I-S-C-O, short for Wisconsin.
Wisco.
So these are again, these
City Connect jerseys.
You don't even recognize the teams.
Well, that is a goofy-looking uniform,
yeah,
too. What is the point of that? Who's going to buy that? They're trying to sell jerseys, right? You're going to buy the Wisco jersey?
You're
going to buy the yellow Red Sox jersey? I don't know who would buy that
stuff. Chris Massaro might, but I'm not.
All right, let's get to our game of the night, which is going to get underway in about 40 minutes. Usually we have theme music for this.
It's the primetime game of the night.
There it is. Strike up the band. That's the theme music for the primetime game of the night, and it's going to be Braves-Yankees. Our producer was really pushing for the Guardians-White Sox today, but I said, nah, we can't do it. It's Will Hill and I in studio on a Friday night.
Sure.
It's got to be the Yankees. Max Fried going, and you believe this price is cheap. Yankees minus 122. Total is 7.5 or 8.
I laid it with the Yankees. I think I got that exact number, minus 122. Of course, shop around, but I was surprised. Even when I think I woke up and this was minus 130 or 135, and I thought, I'd probably go up. It'll probably be, Yankees will probably take some money. I know they're not swinging the bats great. Rice is in a slump. Judge is hurt. We know all the reasons to be down on the Yankees now. Bullpen was that was a blow-up the other night against the Cardinals. What was that, Monday night? But Fried is a much better pitcher than Tyler Molly going here for the Braves. They just got him from the Giants. Yankees have Garcia Jr. now. They got Ramos. They have Lombard. So that's a different team than it was a week ago. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just a pitching mismatch here for in favor of the Yankees, who are the home team here. We're going to get going, like you said, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. So are you with me? Are you taking the Yankees? Do you have any thoughts on this game?
I didn't bet it, but I thought the Yankees were cheap as well. That's the first time I looked at it. I said, Max Fried minus 122 in this matchup. The price is so cheap, it scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I am more confident in the Yankees because I think their lineup looks a lot more capable than it was a week ago. Right?
I mean, you're going to need Judge Lombard, back at some point, but
Garcia.
It's longer. There's not, sometimes we watch these Yankee games or we're doing these shows, and it's like three or four guys, forget it. Automatic outs, Wells, Volpe, it's forget it. Once you get past five or six, you need a prayer to get on base. You don't feel like that way anymore. You feel like it's a little bit longer, a little bit deeper.
Wild game that the Yankees played against the Cardinals early this week. Cardinals were up 6-0. Luis Garcia Jr. hits a homer. Yankees take a 7-6 lead. And the Yankees give up the next seven runs and lose the game 13-7, I think, right?
A bizarre game. Yeah. Started with a ball Grisham, I thought, could have caught. The more I watch him in center field,
he stinks,
the less I like him. He doesn't take great routes, and he's just slow. Usually
slow.
Center field, he's slow.
He's slow.
Yeah, it's like having a slow middle linebacker in football. When you need speed out of that position.
How can you have a guy that slow in your outfield?
It's not good. Yeah, it's not good.
He looks like he's running with a tray of drinks.
Yeah.
That's how slow the guy is. And he can't score from first on a double.
That was bad. What was it, the Dodgers a few weeks ago?
It looks
Friday
like he's
night.
Just jogging.
Yeah.
I really, Trent Grissom's done some decent things since he's been with the Yankees. I got no use for him on the roster.
More of a fourth outfielder on a good team. Great team, he's a fourth
and
outfielder.
And when he's in the lineup, he's batting leadoff a lot of times. He's a 200 hitter.
Yeah, he'll run into one once in a while. He's got a pretty swing when he connects, but with you, not my favorite player.
Primetime game of the night, pro picks, Braves-Yankees. Max Fried, under 5.5 strikeouts. That's Wes Reynolds. He's laying 144 on that. Will Hill is on the Yankees. When you put this play in, it was, minus 135 overnight or this morning?
I gave it out on Money Moves this afternoon, so I don't know if that was the correct price I was going or the best price. You don't want to just pick off one line and give out something that's hard to get, but I think that was the price maybe at Caesars when I saw it, but the Braves have gotten money. We'll see who's right here.
Well, this line has come down a little bit. Right now at DraftKings, minus 122. FanDuel, minus 122. Circa, minus 122. The big Swede, Dustin Swedelson, on under 8.5, and a bunch more plays up there on Braves-Yankees. Nick Bogdanovich next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Gambling Hall of Fame Induction Night, Bet Bash Week here at Circa Resort and Casino. And a couple years ago, Nick Bogdanovich went into the Hall of Fame. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. And Nick B joins us right now. Bookmaker at Boomers. And Nick, welcome in tonight. And I think it was 2 years ago you went into the Hall. Is that correct?
Me and Richie B, yes, it was a good night. Very, very good night, and we'll have some fun again tonight.
Jeff Whitelaw showed up last year, and he said he was going to give a speech to top yours. Do you believe Whitelaw topped your speech last year?
Well, he started his speech last year, and it may be currently still going. We don't know. It was the longest speech in the history of speeches.
Speaking of Whitelaw, he just walked through the sports book in a tux a couple of minutes ago, looking like a Hall of Famer. I know you're headed down here tonight for the dinner. Nick, what does the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame mean? Do you think it's purposeful just to bring the best people in sports betting together every year and just kind of remember some of the accomplishments and people who built the industry in the past?
Yeah, I think so. It was Spanky's idea, smart guy. I don't know how long he'd been thinking of the idea, but for him to get a house like Circa, Circa's the nicest sports book I've ever seen. It's got a nice home there. you know, and everyone's engaged. It's got a, you know, a lot of people really did a lot in sports betting, and they respect it, and they you know, they want the tradition to live on. So I think it's a good thing. I think Spanky's hit a home run with it, and you know, obviously nothing's a perfect thing, but you know, we're working on it, making adjustments. I am on the member. I think there's 23 members on the board, so we're always trying to tinker it, make it better. So hopefully we can do that.
Some heavyweights in the industry here tonight for the Black Tie Dinner. I know Michael Roxy Roxborough is going to be over here. Billy Walters was here last night, and Nick Bogdanovich headed down here tonight. Will Hill, can you give us an update on the red hot Red Sox?
Believe it or not, guys, the Boston Red Sox are winning. Up 9-0 here on the A's as they just continue to steamroll everybody. Nick, you've been around a while. Can you remember a team? I mean, this team was 32-46 in late June. Can you remember a team going from being this bad to this good this quickly here with the Red Sox?
No, but what, you know, when they were 32-46, and I looked at that lineup they were putting out there every day, I could understand why they were 32-46. That wasn't the 27 Yankees. but they just put it all together. Now they're, you know, they just get timely hitting, even though Duren's hitting, what, 191, and he was supposedly the best player coming into the year. And, you know, there aren't. I mean, Sonny Gray's had an outstanding year. This Toll kid's out of nowhere. They're positioned well for the playoffs. The big Cuban's still closing games. So I'm sort of rooting for him, to be honest with you. It'd be a hell of a story.
The big news this week, Tarik Skubal is now an L.A. Dodger, and the Dodgers, we just found out, are going to get Blake Snell back next week. That being said, they have lost six in a row. What was the action like in terms of moving that number? And is this a situation where if you were a better, you'd be looking to maybe take a shot on some of these teams further down the board with the Dodgers being so short?
Yeah, the Dodgers got Skubal. They lost a couple games. Now they're trying to dig Babe Ruth out of the ground so he can get on the roster as well. Yeah, you know, it's baseball. The best team doesn't always win. I mean, you can lose a lot of 3-2 games. I mean, just look what the Indians lost to the Marlins when the Indians were by far the better team. So it is baseball. I'm not a big fan of one team spending $700 billion and the other team spending $700,000. And I know there's a lot of people out there that would make the argument that the Pirates do have the money to spend and yada, yada, yada. I just don't care for it. I would love to see a salary cap like NBA and NFL where everyone's on the same page. But that being said, it gives us something to interesting to watch in October if the Dodgers can get it done with the best roster in baseball.
When that trade went through, Nick, I think most books around plus 150 for the Dodgers. Was that about where you were at? And can you remember a baseball team with 2 months to play being that short? I know in basketball you had like the Durant Warriors. I'm sure you go back some of the Shaq Kobe teams, but baseball, it's so random. This is historically low for the price you have on the Dodgers.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. I mean, I'm not one of those who can remember prices from 20 years ago. But we didn't lower it that much when they got Skubal. Like you said, there is still randomness. And let's face it, Skubal's been good, but he hasn't been dominant Skubal so far this year. Now that he may find it, and he may turn into a Blake Snell monster in the postseason and just, you know, throw 21 scoreless. But up until now, he's just been a good Skubal, not great.
Dodgers went from plus 180 to plus 150, sitting right now plus 160. Six-game losing streak for the Dodgers, who play later tonight in Arizona. Nick Bogdanovich, Sports Gambling Hall of Famer, Boomer Sportsbook, with us now. Nick, how about the NFL? Last night, the Hall of Fame game, I know you were over here at Cirque, you didn't watch much of it, but the total was 34. The point spread up in the balance until the last play of the game. Scoreless first quarter, and the Panthers win 33-30 on a Haynes King scramble and touchdown on the last play of the game. That was a wild one last night. How much action does a game like the Hall of Fame game get last night, and how much betting action in general do you expect to see on the preseason next week?
Yeah, there was a move last night from like 35 down to 34. There was a little under money, but are you the one who went to Couchy and said both teams will score 30 and took a big plus price? Was that you, Matt?
No, that might have been Greg Peters. I don't know.
No, that is crazy, though. 33-30. I couldn't believe it. I like I said, I was busy last night at eating a nice dinner at Barry's, so I didn't see any of the game, but sounds like a hell of a game. I'm just glad football's back. I'm excited for it. I mean, I obviously I'm a huge college football fan, and we're only 3 weeks away from week zero, so yeah, I'm a little bit jazzed for football.
Yep, 3 weeks away from week zero college football. Will Hill and I just talked about that. We're fired up for that. And we're also talking about the NFL preseason. You hear this every year. You have to be an idiot, or a degenerate, or an idiot to bet the NFL preseason. But betting limits are low for a reason. What type of action do you expect to see on the NFL preseason, or you have seen over the years when you've worked at various sports books?
Yeah, same as always. As soon as some information is released, there'll be quite a few moves. All the bookmakers will be on defense, low limits, move them fast, and you know, hope you earn a little juice on the 3 weeks that they play. So. Yeah, nothing new there. But it'll be interesting to see how much, you know, it's the year-old question. How much do the starters play? Some coaches are terrified of injuries, and some coaches are terrified of not getting enough work in. So it is really an interesting three-week puzzle. I'm not against it at all. I sort of enjoy the process.
I do as well, and I know Will Hill does too. By the way, we've talked about the Dodgers being such short World Series favorites. How about the Rams as short Super Bowl favorites? Not much action on the Rams at Boomers, or are bettors looking for bigger numbers down the board?
Yeah, a ton of action on the Rams. We got some pretty good liability built up already, and I'm a huge Aaron Donald fan, so I hope he comes back. I'd love to see him play another year. He's one of my favorite athletes of all time, just a nonstop motor, classy guy, and he's coming back for another ring. So it'll be interesting to see if they drag him out of mothballs.
Aside from the Rams, any teams jump out to you attracting action at this point? Bills, Seahawks,
no, not
Eagles?
Really.
No? Okay.
No, none of those guys, none of those are getting action whatsoever. It's just really an onslaught on the Rams. But, you know, That'll change over the next 3 or 4 weeks. It always does. But you know Matt Stafford had an incredible year last year, so he's far from done. But at any minute, his back can go out. Mm-hmm. And if he takes some brutal hits, he plays hard, and he's 40 years old with a lot of operations. So those people who think the Rams are like free money at 5-1. 18 games is a long way to get him home healthy.
Plus 550 right now. I believe that's a DraftKings and Circa plus 550 on the Rams. How about college football, Nick? Where is the money going, and who do you like near the top of the board?
College football, Matt, it's time. I'm focused in on one game only, Saturday, August 29th, Memphis and UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
Just a monster move on UNLV. I mean, I thought the number was a little low, but I didn't think it would go to 6.5. But I haven't, you know, it's hard to believe. I was born and raised here. I still haven't been to Allegiant Stadium, but I think I'm gonna. That'll be my maiden voyage. I'm gonna go to Memphis UNLV Saturday, August 29th at 7 p.m. I'm looking forward to that.
You ought to. That's a pretty good matchup and a great stadium. And looking forward to Memphis UNLV, Hawaii Stanford, and some of those other Week Zero games in college football. Nick Bogdanovich, Sports Gambling Hall of Famer. Nick, thanks for the time, man. We'll see you over here later tonight.
All right, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nick.
See ya.
Great to have Nick on. And Red Sox have allowed the A's to score a run, being generous. 9-1, Red Sox over the A's. And if they win this game tonight, the Red Sox will be 27-3 over their past 30. Cubs lead the Royals 4-1 in Kansas City. Cubs and Red Sox, hottest teams in baseball right now.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Preseason football is back, and it's time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. And Will Hill, you've been hanging out here all week at Circa.
I've seen him.
The proxies are down there. And I mentioned this the other day. You got different groups of proxies, competing proxies.
Yeah.
They have their uniforms on. And it's almost, it kind of reminds me of the Bloods and the Crips.
It's a little similar.
Right, right.
What category
it's kind of
like
would a battle between the proxies.
What category would Dave Tooley fall under in that?
Dave Tooley's like the he's like the new sheriff in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw he just turned 60 the other day. Happy birthday, Dave.
Is he 60?
I think so.
Doesn't look a day over 62. Dave Tooley also does proxy. Andy Isco proxies for people. So you got some other options out there. But Winner's Circle Proxy, definitely the VSIM preferred proxy service. And you can find those guys out here in the book every day of the week as these contest numbers continue to balloon as we get to early September. By the way, you were out here all week. Have you had a chance to enter the contest yet? Or are you going to do that before you leave tomorrow?
Not yet, but I will. I'll be in do a Circa. What do you call it? The Millions, and then probably a couple Survivors. How many Survivors? You're going to do the max, I think you told me, right? You're going to do the max number?
We're going to have a bunch. We're going to form a group, and we're going to have a bunch of entries.
Okay.
I think you need a bunch to compete because there are going to be some of these syndicates with 200, 300 entries, and it's very difficult to pull this off if you've only got two or three as one individual.
It is very tough. I wouldn't say it's impossible because crazy things happen, and you can just get hot and dance between the raindrops, but it's not easy.
So the group I put together, these guys love being a part of the contest, very enthusiastic about it, but I'm making the picks. You know, we put in the money, split it, but I make all the picks. We don't talk about it every week and debate, should you use this team? I'm just going to make the picks like I did last year.
Okay.
And then we go down with the ship like we did with the Eagles on Black Friday against the Bears.
Wasn't good. No. Wasn't good. What have you eyed week one yet?
Yes, but I don't want to get into that tonight.
Okay.
We got a long way to go. I was talking with Bill Ady about our Circa Friday Football Invitational Contest.
Can't wait.
We get a lot of questions from people. Are you going to do the – yeah, we're going to do it. But relax. We got over a month until the first games are being played for the first week of the contest. We will announce the contest next Friday.
Yeah.
And we get the first wave of names of contestants. But we're a long way from the first week of the NFL season right now, right?
Yeah.
It's over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Friday nights, I get the bump, and then I could just start drinking earlier Friday nights and listen to the show. It'll be good. And so you and I are together. We really only have a few Fridays because we're doing this one. Next week is the 14th. The 21st, my wife got tickets. Her company got tickets to the Yankee game. So I'm off the 21st.
Okay.
Today, the 14th, the 20th. So we're, I mean, when you think about it that way, we got a few of these shows a few weeks from now, and you're going to be doing the contest show, which will be good.
Who are the Yankees playing tonight?
I don't know. I got to look.
You don't know yet?
No. I mean, I think it was free tickets. You want to go? Yeah, I'll go. I can find out. Aaron Judge will not be back by then. I don't think
Aaron Judge is going to be back with the Yankees until, I'm going to say, mid-September.
The Blue Jays. Yankees, Blue Jays.
Not bad. I'm going to say mid-September.
Over under September 15th.
I'll say 14th.
Okay, yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, he sounds optimistic, which, I mean, we have such little detail. All you can go by is the subject himself. And if he feels good that he's going to be back, it's hard not to trust him and take him at his word. Sometimes these coaches or GMs, they'll play games with their health. But I don't think Judge would stand up there and say, you know what, I know I'm not going to be back, but let me go up here and say I'm going to be back. So if he thinks he's going to be back, I think he'll be back. The question is when. But you know what, running out of time a little bit. I mean, he's not going to be back this week, next week, 3 weeks. It's going to take a while for him to ramp up. Now, it's not like a pitcher where he's going to have to, you know, throw pitches and make rehab starts, but he's still going to have to do some swinging and do a bunch of things. So I think your date, middle of September, is probably a good one.
I will say that the first week of the NFL regular season will be in the books before Aaron Judge plays for the Yankees. You're
probably right. Probably right.
He's been cleared for light activity.
Yeah, what does
that even mean?
That's
not much. That's like me getting off the couch and walking to the refrigerator to get a beer. That's light activity, right?
And then, I mean, you're expecting him to be Aaron Judge. So for him to come back, if he's going to, if you're first off, you're going to rush him back and he's going to get hurt, that's going to be a disaster. He's going to be done. You can't do that. And then expect him, hey, you haven't done anything. You've just been sitting around because it's an oblique injury. He hasn't been able to swing or lift or any of this stuff. Hey, go up there and hit a 99 mile an hour fastball and hit 320 with power. That's probably not something you can count on right away either.
That's why I don't think they're going to rush him back. They're going to be somewhat cautious. Hey, he's missed this much time.
Right.
Why wait? Why rush him back ahead of schedule a week or two? Middle of September. It gives them time to tune up for October.
Yeah.
Should be healthy by then. I was probably more confident that he's going to return. Some people thought he wasn't going to return at all.
Yeah, I never felt that way.
But I watched the video where he said, yeah, I'll be back. Why wouldn't I be back? I'll be back. Yeah. And when he said it like that, I was assured that he knows his body and he knows at some point here he's going to be good to go. But like you said, you can't expect him to be MVP Aaron Judge
right.
the day he steps back into the lineup. By the way, the Yankees game appears to be about 10 minutes away from first pitch. We do have some light activity on the field in the Bronx, and it looks like they're getting the field ready to play. Yankees minus 122. Again, this is our primetime game of the night. We got a bunch of plays up on this on the VSIM Pro page. Wes Reynolds on Max Fried, under 5.5 strikeouts, minus 144. The big Swede, Dustin Swedelson, Braves Yankees, under 8.5. Will Hill, Yankees minus 122 with Max Fried. Zach Cohen's got Ben Rice over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Ben Rice has cooled off a little bit, and I think the MVP case that he made for quite a while there seems like it's fizzling fast.
Sure is. You get something at 150-1, and at some point it's 3-1, you feel good. But there's part two of that whole process, and that's the hard part. That's actually getting it home. And Yordan Alvarez and Junior Caminero have made it tough, but Rice has made it tough too. He has not continued, and probably hurts him that Judge has been out too. You don't get as many pitches to hit. It's a lot of pressure on a kid who was, he was a part-time player up until recently. Even beginning of the year, he was platooning with Goldschmidt. He didn't even get 500 at bats last year, and all of a sudden, hey, you're an MVP candidate, an MVP favorite, and you got to carry the offense. Judge is hurt. It's asking a lot, but we'll see if he can make a late run, but it's certainly an MVP case that's on life support.
Well, Ben Rice has had a hell of a year, but I think what you said there is a key, and I was thinking about this as well. The pressure on him to carry that lineup has been enormous for a young guy, because when Judge went out, there were so many times the Yankees were struggling to score, and it was kind of on Ben Rice to spark that lineup, and that's a lot of pressure on him. I was also amused by this, that the Tigers and Yankees talked about a trade for Skubal in January. Do you recall this?
I heard whispers, and I think I know where you're going with that, with this.
Okay, so the Yankees and Tigers.
The offers they refused versus the offer they ended up getting? Not good.
The Tigers, this is what the Tigers asked for in January when they were approached by the Yankees about Skubal.
Yeah.
They asked for Ben Rice, Cam Schlittler, and George Lombard.
Well,
the Tigers ended up getting Zahir Hope, River Ryan, and Brady Smith.
Not quite the same. And you know what? Back in January,
I guess we have to give Cashman credit for not being a big enough fool to make that trade in January, right?
Back in January, it's like, all right, Schlittler showed some promise. I don't want to trade him, but it is Skubal. Rice, he didn't think of that much of him. It's not as crazy as it sounds now, but now, that would have been one of the more lopsided trades.
Would have been one of the worst trades in baseball history if the Yankees had made it.
Would have been terrible.
But yeah, at the time, don't forget, Aaron Judge viewed Ben Rice as a platoon player.
Yeah. Aaron Boone,
Aaron Boone, what did I say?
I think Judge.
Aaron Boone viewed Ben Rice as a platoon first baseman.
Yeah.
We were mocking him for that early
in the
season.
Even the beginning of the season, right.
And Cam Schlittler had that great start against the Red Sox in the playoffs, but you didn't really know what he was going to be. Even when I bet him at 300-1 to win Cy Young, I was like, he's not even the best pitcher on the staff. Max Fried's the best pitcher on the staff. Gerrit Cole's going to be out for 2 months, but you don't think you're going to win that bet. I'm still not sure I'm going to win the bet. Schlittler has been slumping a little bit too, especially at home. You know what's interesting about Schlittler? And again, we're about 5 or 6 minutes away from the Yankees and Braves getting underway in the Bronx. Cam Schlittler was dominant against the Red Sox in that playoff start, right? But he's been horrible at home this season. On the road, he's put up numbers like Bob Gibson. He's been incredible on the road. Why has he struggled so much at Yankee Stadium?
There's probably some randomness to it.
Yeah.
There's probably the fact that he's a fastball pitcher, and you start challenging people with that fastball up Yankee Stadium. It's a hitter's ballpark. They get that thing in the air, and you give them some home runs. There's probably something to that, but it is strange.
All right, more updates around baseball. The Cubs, the Cubs are really hot right now. They're going to put some pressure on the Brewers to win that division. 4-1, Cubs have the lead in Kansas City, and that's the top of the third. When I looked at the baseball card today, Will, I said there's two big favorites, pretty confident they're not going to lose. Red Sox and the Cubs.
Off to a good start.
They're off to a pretty good start, especially the Red Sox. Might as well bet the Red Sox every day the way they are playing. And we will take a break. We're halfway through the big show here on a Friday night, VSiN Primetime. Stay tuned, the Sports Betting Network.